Hi, David.
Hiya. Did that record all right?
I don't know. I'm just checking. I'm assuming it will, because it's pretty reliable these days.
Yeah.
We've covered specific stocks over the last two or three weeks that came to our attention with good results and so on. So we thought we'd do a general sort of wrap-up for 2014 and then talk about some themes for 2015.
Yeah.
So overall then, David, was 2014 a good year for you?
I'd say a very average year overall, which is still generally good. But I found that, you know, certain sectors just didn't perform. I've thankfully only got about 6% or so in oil and gas or companies that supply the oil and gas industry. That really had a problem. Stocks specific-wise, because I have about 15 stocks that are worth probably 60% or so of my overall portfolio, it often depends on how well they perform. And I've had five at least that actually have done very well and doubled in the year, so that's always
five that have doubled.
I've had one that's tripled, which was a really big holding, if I'm notifiable in it, which is, as we mentioned earlier, Crawshaw's. So that went from 18p at the start of the year and it's now 54, so happy with that one. Renew Holdings, one I think you've looked at in the past, they've moved up from about £1.80 to £3. So that's been good. That's a large holding for me. Spruegis, one I'll mention a bit later. Also one that's been up and down like a yo-yo, but generally for the whole year is certainly well up and is very strong end of the year. It's plus 500. Controversial company to a certain extent. But
that's the Israeli CFD So you must be strongly up then. Are you going to give us a rough idea on what percentage you achieved this year, or are you going to be shy?
I'm not really shy, although I don't want to really over-egg anything. But it's complicated for me because half my holdings are effectively in tax-efficient, what I call tax-efficient spread bets. So you never know with that situation until you really analyse everything through a full year.
It's difficult to work out percentages. But ballpark, what are you up 10?
Probably about between 12% and 15%, I think.
Yeah, that's very good, because it's been a bad year for small caps, and you and I mainly do small caps, so I think that's an excellent point. I'm afraid I can't say that I did as well at all. I mean, my long-term stuff, my small caps and long-term holdings, I think are down about 15% for the year. Which is very disappointing. It's similar to, it's roughly halfway between what the AIM index has done, which is down more than that from the peak, and the FTSE small caps index. But the interesting thing is the shorter term trading stuff I've done this year has been extremely successful.
Well done.
Well, a lot of that's been down to short positions. This is the thing. I mean, I'm not normally a shorter, but I thought this year that I would, I have done shorting for sort of 15 years on and off, but I've never really made any money at it. But this year I focus on it more and it's done very well. I caught that big drop in ASOS and Ocado, and Quindel, of course, has been the big one this year for me and for others.
Yeah, I think you mentioned somewhere on the internet you'd had successful trades in Quindel about 30 times or something.
No, more than 60.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Which not all short. I went long as well on Quindel when it was obviously oversold and was going to do a bounce, you know, I went long. Why not? It's just it's just one of those things where sometimes you just look at what the market's telling you and react accordingly. It's a different mentality from long term investing, isn't it? Really,
it is.
Where you just ride out any.
Occasionally go short, but I find sometimes you just have to get the right side of a trade sometimes, and if you are on a roll with it, and you can see it going up and down, up and down. You can just hit it perfectly each time. And there's other companies where you can get it the complete wrong way round, you know, and you just not worth having a go out at all.
I couldn't agree more. There are just certain shares where you just kind of tune in to what the market's doing, and you can very accurately trade them up and down and up and down. Whereas there's only a few shares I find I can do that, and Quindel was one of them. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So, but I like doing a mixture of my long-term stuff, and then, you know, my biggest holding I've been in continuously for 10 years, and I've got lots of other holdings I've been in for multiple years as well. But I think I get a bit bored, you know, so it's nice to do some trading on the side. So I think probably overall, taking into account the long-term and the short-term, again, I this is just ballpark, I'm probably up about, I don't know, 30% maybe on the year, something like that. Yeah, but, you know, it's a small portfolio, that's the thing, whereas yours obviously is multiples of mine, so it's easy to be nimble when you're dealing in smallish amounts, you know?
Yeah.
But as I say, that masked a bad performance on the long-term stuff and an exceptionally good performance on the trades. So.
Yeah, and I must admit, I had about 2.5 months off almost to get Mellow 2014.
Oh, of course, yeah. Mind you, often doing nothing is the best thing to do.
That's what they, especially when markets are crashing, sometimes it's better to be there when it comes out. Yeah.
Definitely, I agree. The other really interesting thing I've found with having a few shorts alongside a mainly long portfolio, which is what I've done this year, is that it acts as a really good shock absorber when you have these sharp sell-offs. And I found, you know, it's given me effectively a fresh pot of money to deploy when the market plunges, because these shorts suddenly spew out loads of profit. You can bank that and then use that money to buy things that, I mean, I bought Amino Technology, for example, when it suddenly sold off from £1 to 82p.
Yeah.
Nipped in and bought some. And I've sold it now for a more than 50% gain, you know, in 2 months. It's stuff like that, which if you're 100% along, you can't do that because you haven't got any spare cash when you need it.
Yeah.
So that's another interesting spin-off benefit, I think, of having a few short positions. So just it's a nice shock absorber, isn't it?
You spot on there. I like to have one or two shorts as well for that reason. And in fact, in April, although it's something to cover a bit later, but in April we're going to have some workshops, and those will be the topics in particular that we look at: downturns and how to protect yourself, and what sort of tools you can have in your box for actually covering yourself against downturns.
Yeah, that sounds good. So when is that going to be a bit like Mellow Derby then?
It is, but it won't be in Derby. It'll be very close to London somewhere, but it'll be a residential thing again, but only for 2 days rather than 3 days, so
yes,
something easy for people to get to. And, you know, we'll have lots and lots of workshops and try and just educationals, really, for things that some of us know lots and lots about. There's obviously a lot of investors that, you know, can be very confident of telling us how to do some of these things, but I mean, I'm as thick as anything on puts and calls and all these things that
there's some really interesting strategies of that type of thing, aren't there?
I'm wanting to learn, and I'm just hoping others will want to learn as well.
Sounds good. Okay, well, when you've got dates on that, let me know, and I'll tweet it and so on. Okay, so themes for 2015, investing themes. You mentioned on our warm-up call, you said we've got the election to think about.
Yeah, we've got to be a little bit wary of that in the middle of the year.
How do you think that will affect the markets?
Well, you never know, really. At the moment, you can't call exactly which way the election is likely to go. But, I think there will be some effect on the market, because it's uncertainty again, and when there's uncertainty about it affects the market.
Yes.
I must admit, because I mainly go for smaller companies, you know, I'll be probably bedding in with a few companies that I know shouldn't really be affected at all by anything to do with the market sentiment, and, you know, and then you just ride it out, especially when they've got dividends, and we mentioned quite a lot of those earlier.
Yeah, I love dividends.
Know, because you don't have to sell anything. If they're giving you dividends, you can cover your living expenses from your dividends.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, my view, I don't think the election will make the slightest difference in economic terms, because I think there's so little difference between the parties. You know, they make out that there are all these huge ideological differences. But if you look at their spending plans, they're actually identical.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, apparently, I heard today, George Osborne's latest spending plans. He's spending slightly more than Alistair Darling had planned to spend at this point. You know, so they talk tough about austerity, but actually government spending's still going up, the debt's still going up.
Yeah.
You know, it's all bullshit, I think, to be honest. So for that reason, I don't think there's going to be much effect on the market at all. But,
I mean, I'm not really a political animal. I don't really follow the parties closely, but I don't think they can afford to stick their neck out a really long way, because they just know it will offend voters and they just won't get in. So.
Yeah, and then there's no money to spend anyway, so they can't come out and say, you know, we want to give you all these giveaways, so there's no money to give away, is there?
No.
Okay, what about the oil sector then? I mean,
who knows where that's going to go? I mean, we don't know whether it's, you know, really, you know, the world politics that's causing some of these issues. Who knows whether the demand will drop off and what's going to happen with shale plays. Yeah. There's all sorts of things that, you know.
Nobody predicted it, though. This is the thing I can't get my head around.
No.
Nobody seems to have predicted this.
No.
So what's the point in having forecasts and things like oil prices? Nobody's got a clue.
One thing I will say, though, Paul, the benefits at the moment, probably the feel-good factor, is very much more people filling up at the tank, you know, getting their petrol. They're seeing, you know, incredible drop-off now in the petrol prices.
Well, especially in America, I mean, in America, it's a much more pronounced effect, isn't it? Because they have so little tax on fuel that it's feeding through pretty directly. Also, a lot of people in further north in America apparently use oil to heat their homes.
And we're in the winter here, and it should keep the bills down. It's all these things.
It's putting a lot of money into people's pockets, I think.
Yeah.
I have read somewhere this morning, I think it said the oil price is going to put something like 0.5% onto global GDP. So, I mean, I suppose on the other hand, you've got all the capex being reduced by the oil companies and all the rest of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
It certainly should help consumer spending and all the rest of it.
And lots of the small companies that we invest in will actually have lower costs, of course, because they're in the same position.
Yeah. So you're seeing oil probably more of an opportunity then, rather than a worry.
And then maybe ultimately an opportunity to invest in one or two good oil. Suppliers, you know, the supply chain for the oil companies, because they're the ones that get beaten down, and of course if they're very good companies, eventually
they'll recover.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it's probably too early to start bottom fishing in any significant
sometimes size. Sometimes it's better to see the oil price recover by 10% before going fishing than to actually expect that you've hit the bottom, because you know nobody ever calls the bottom perfect, they really do.
True. I mean, the theme I've been banging on about in my morning reports on Stockopedia is I think internet retailers are just ridiculously overpriced generally. We've talked about AO World. I think Ocado is massively overvalued. ASOS is still significantly overvalued. I'm short of all three of those at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not personally, but you know, a family account is short. I like Boohoo, but if they don't produce the growth, then they're vulnerable as well, I think. But that's probably the best one, it's the only one that makes a decent profit margin, is Boohoo. So I think that might be a theme in 2015, and investors suddenly starting to realise, actually, you know, these people have loads of competition, but generally they don't make much profit. They're just retailers with a website, you know. It's nothing to get excited about. There's loads of competition there.
Yeah.
So I think that could be interesting. Do you think the bull market in America can continue?
Well, there's been a real divergence in the last sort of 9 months or so, where the market in America has been really going up, and it's not being followed at all, well, naturally by Europe, but I mean certainly not by the UK. So that's to slow off in America, surely.
Yes, you would have thought so, wouldn't you? Or crash, I mean.
Maybe.
I've
got a small short on the American market, so hopefully.
I have too. Okay, what about the outlook for small caps then? Where do you, the last 9 months or so have been pretty lousy, haven't they?
They have. And I, you know, I still think there's some really good smaller companies out there that have continued to deliver and will deliver over the next year. So, I mean, I don't know if we're going to generally go on to the theme of where we see the value, but I mean, without being sector specific, I just think that there are quite a few small caps that won't be affected by the election or changes in anything in Europe or the UK. So, should be able to deliver some very good results next year. So should we move on to tips and things, Paul?
To us?
And our thoughts for the, you know, individual companies to do well for the next
year. Yeah. So the phone just cut out slightly when you said that, so I didn't catch the word. Yeah, I thought we'd, because everybody likes naps, don't they, whatever, for the next year. So I thought let's make ourselves look complete idiots by nailing our colours to the mast for the stocks we like for 2015.
Yeah.
And then people can hurl abuse at us for when they all plummet. So I was going to suggest something along the lines of maybe two value shares each, two growth shares, one speculative share, and one or two shorts, or something like that.
Yeah.
So do you want to go first?
And again,
I do stress that these are not recommendations.
No.
They're just our personal opinions, and people have got to do their own research.
Yeah. Well, one that I've been in for a few years, and it just every year, really, they perform so well, really good management. They were at Derby, so one or two people will know of them. They're not on a particularly low rating, but they are on a very good value rating for the growth that they've been achieving and look like they're continuing to achieve. That's a company called Spruegis.
Oh, I know, the smoke alarms company.
That's it. S-P-R-R-P is the ticker. They are moving into Europe, or have done for a number of years, but the regulations are changing in France in particular, and in March it's compulsory for all the homes to have the smoke detectors, and that will make a big change. It's incredible to think that in this country where it isn't compulsory, but everybody's pretty much tuned in now to having smoke detection. You know, the smoke detectors, I think, are in about 85% of homes in this country.
Oh, are they? How much is that? It's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot, but in France, have a guess how many homes, what the percentage is there.
Well, you've given it away, really, because of your incredulous tone of voice, so I'm going to... So I'm going to go low. I'm going to say 30%.
No, only 3% of homes.
What?
Incredible. What are they thinking out there? Do they not want, you know, they're asleep at night and something happened. I just can't believe that they're so low there. It's just,
that's remarkable,
isn't it? They do say the French have got this laissez-faire attitude and they don't want anybody changing regulations on them and thinking you've got to do this. They'll say, sod you. But
mind you, everything's so heavily regulated in France, isn't it? I read read on Twitter this morning, apparently they ban, you can't have intercity coaches in France. Because the government, they're banned, because the government doesn't want them undermining the state-owned railways.
God.
Isn't that incredible?
Oh.
I mean, I haven't checked my source, so it was from Twitter, so it could be completely made up. But,
Good news with Sprue, I mean, they think over the next 3 or 4 years, I mean, they really don't think that immediately for everyone in France or every home will get anywhere near to the 80-odd% that we have in the UK. But apparently the insurance companies over there are going to start stipulating that, you know, if there is a fire and there's damage to a property, you know,
then
they're not going to pay out if there isn't any smoke detection. So I think they will slowly but surely, you know, have to, you know, buy lots of these smoke detectors. And I know already they've been, you know, on full shifts to get these things produced for France.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at the figures on Stockopedia here, and I mean, they're fantastic. Just superb growth.
Yeah.
Turnover's grown from 9 million in 2008 to 48 million last year. Profits risen from 1 million to 4 million and forecasted up to 9.4 million.
Yeah, they're really motoring.
Next year, they're really motoring, aren't they? Yeah, no. I was in this stock, actually. I sold far too early. Sold about two quid. They're up to $3.20 now.
Yeah.
It looks fairly fully valued, though, I have to say, on the forecast, 16 times forecast earnings. Not cheap anymore, is it?
Not for that level of growth, though, Paul.
No.
You know, I mean, it's
the same.
You know, and I have to say with Sprue, they do beat forecasts. forecasts on a regular basis.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know, as soon as they suddenly come up with 40 or 50% growth, you then think, oh, this looks a bit cheaper now. And it's how it goes.
The 3.1% divvy as well, which isn't bad, is it?
Yeah.
So, okay, that was that one. Next one, next idea for 2015?
Well, next one's a smaller company, but one that is very steady in the sector that it's in. It's a company called HML Holdings, which...
Now, this is a real tiny one, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot smaller, but they look after blocks of flats, and they are very, very... I mean, it's a growth company. They buy up other smaller companies, literally... Every few months, you'll see RNSs for companies that they've acquired.
Is this the one where they franchise it?
No, not another one. No franchising. It's pure, they buy them up. They operate very good systems for managing all these blocks. And so, of course, if they buy a company that's not really been very good at putting these systems in place and needs to sell, often a mom and pa type managed operation, so they don't want to spend the money, and so in come HML, buy them out on very low multiples, and they build up the company that way, and they've already achieved this year's target for acquiring other companies, and they're only halfway through the year, so it's on a P of about 10 or 11. It's a nice little play, really, on good growth.
It's only 12 million market cap, though, that one, isn't it? So HMLH is the ticker. So I would imagine it's very illiquid, and you've got a big bid offer spread to contend with. So it's not something that you would really trade in and out of.
No. That's a long-term value play.
Yes.
It's a nice little company.
Okay, next one?
Next one after that would be a company that is a little bit of more an exciting player. I think it's one that you like as well. Tungsten has come off a very long way.
Now, the phone just cut out when you said that. You said tungsten, didn't you?
Tungsten, yeah. It's come off a long way in the last few
years. It has. Take a T-U-N-G.
They came to Mellow and, very run by a very impressive guy. And I would really say that if the business that they expect to achieve over the next few years, and they're in an exciting area really because of all the invoicing that they feel they can provide a universal service for, and of course if they get into providing the actual funding for some of the
They're merging they own a big e-invoicing company, don't they?
Yeah.
But it doesn't make any money. And they bought their own small bank, and they're going to merge invoice discounting with e-invoicing, which is on a global scale, of huge numbers. I mean, the run rate, I think, is already $150 billion a year invoices flowing through their system. So it could be very exciting, this one. Highly speculative. Even now, the market cap's $250 million, and you could argue really that as it stands at the moment, the business is probably worth very little. But if it works, it could easily be worth, I don't know, billions, 2 or 3 billion more maybe.
Yeah.
In a few years' time. So, yeah, very exciting. Although I'm a bit concerned that it's fallen down so far. It peaked at £4 and dropped to £2.40. You do start to think, well, why isn't it bouncing when everything else is bouncing? You know, I'm a little bit concerned about this one, but I don't know. What's your feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and get him back to Mellow, of course, early in the new year. So it's good to catch some of these management come back to see us again. There's nothing that I know that's any problem there, but I think, unfortunately, any companies where they haven't got profits yet will always be up and down, and you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. It depends on how the psychology of the markets takes
it. And the forecasts were quite significantly reduced in July, I believe. I think it was forecast to be profitable next year. Now it's, I think, continued losses. But to my mind, that doesn't matter. In the short term, in the next year or two, doesn't matter a jot what profit or loss it makes. If the concept works, it's going to be a huge money spinner in future, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know on that one. I mean, I still hold. I bought loads more, actually, on the way down, but I am a little bit nervous about it.
Yeah.
Okay, what else have we got? Oh, yeah, any more ideas for next year?
trend that I like is a company called RTC Group, which is really
Oh, this
really
is
small.
Tiny. This is four million market cap or something, isn't it?
Yeah, they almost certainly will manoeuvre around depending on the economy because they're a recruitment company, but they're in quite exciting areas for growth. And they're certainly, for recent trading updates, have been doing very well. So, it's not for the faint-hearted, but
It's 5 million market cap that one.
Yeah,
I'm not so keen on that one. I did hold them a while back, but it was just so bloody illiquid. I had trouble even selling $5,000 worth. Okay, any more ideas for next year?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, let's quickly whiz through mine then. I've done two value stocks. Regulars will groan at the first one. I'm going to say Norcross, okay. The bathroom fittings company. NXR is the ticker. They put out good trading statements, good results throughout this year, and the market's completely ignored it and sold the shares off.
Yeah.
It peaked at 25p. I think they're now 16 or 17p.
Yeah.
There's no fundamental reason for them having dropped at all. It's just they've just gone down on sentiment, you know.
Yeah.
I like that one. A nice dividend yield, 3.5%. PE is about 8.6. There's a big pension fund there, but the deficit is not particularly huge, and it's they're paying just over $2 million a year into it in recovery payments, but they make about $14 million a year profit. So, you know, it's a manageable issue, I feel.
Yeah.
So I like that one. Just prepared to be patient on it, you know.
I think you have to be patient. In fact, I sensed about a month ago when the results came out that it was going to start lifting up, and it moved
it
up
did.
A little bit, and then it sat back
didn't
down
it?
Again.
I know, it always does.
It's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah, it showed signs of life. But, I mean, I personally, I'm not that fussed by what the short-term share prices do. For me, it's all about, is the company delivering in terms of profitability and dividend and so on? If the answer to that is yes, which it is with this one, then the share price will look after itself, won't it?
Yeah,
it's frustrating. I accept that. But no, I like that one. Then we mentioned DX Group before, didn't we? Postal packet thing. That again is that would be my value pick for next year as well. On growth companies, I'm going to go for Zitronic, which we've already mentioned, ZYT, reasonably priced little growth company. Now, this one's a bit of a wild card. I'm going to go for Axis Technologies, which I've not mentioned before, ticker AXS.
Yeah.
This is the thing that makes this Accoya, wood, some sort of, I don't know how to describe it, it's some sort of wood, I don't know, it's a special type of wood, basically, and apparently it's I've had sort of third party evidence that it's really in very strong demand, you know, that it's a very, very good product. 52 million market cap. They've got enough cash to take them through to profitability. There was some legal dispute they've got, which might be putting people off. I think it looks potentially interesting, that one. I'm not going to go mad on it, but I've bought a few. So that's worth a look. Then speculative one. Funny enough, I had tungsten down as well. So we've both got tungsten for our speculative pick for next year.
Yeah.
And then on shorts, I've got three, actually. I've got Ocado, AOWorld, and ASOS. Oh, we've already mentioned those.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm fairly expecting that it should fall. It's already fallen a long way, but it's lifted up recently, and I think it can go back down again. That's One Disco. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Oh, God, yes.
I've got a clue what
they're
doing.
I know that.
I don't think many people do know what they're doing, but
why
on earth you've got a valuation of such a high amount for no earnings is beyond me.
Well, I agree. I mean, I was short of that one, but I tell you why I closed my shorts on that. Because HSBC have extended them a £10 million or $10 million loan.
Right.
Which I thought was absolutely bizarre. I mean, why the hell would a bank lend money to a blue sky heavily loss-making companies? So it makes you wonder, well, hang on, is there something there? But, yeah, I agree with them. I mean, the figures look atrocious. Even the forecasts look terrible.
Yeah, I know.
And
I mean, I've been short of it a long while, but I mean, I'm just going to stick with it. He's one of those where I haven't got a huge short, but it's one, you know, I just think I'm surely right that it's got no real long term.
Oh, well, have you looked at Audio Boom? That's been a very controversial story.
It has lately, hasn't it? Yeah.
Have you
been
on that one?
I'm not short of it. I know one or two people who clearly are, but.
Yes, no, I'm not. I was actually long of it last year, but. Well, Shakur, I had lunch with him and he talked me out of it. He's just, I was saying, oh, it's great, you know, it's going to be the YouTube of audio and everything. And he just said, oh, Scotty, you know.
It's not. I mean, I've read what he's been saying about them and it does make sense. And it is rather strange when you get directors going on Twitter and lots of other ways to sort of say their bit. It's a bit strange.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, and the thing is, they don't need to talk the share price up because they've done the placing. You know, they've got a few million in the bank. So maybe you just get into the routine of talking up the share price.
Yeah.
You can't stop.
Yeah.
So okay. Anything else you want to cover, James?
Well, I mean, a couple of silly bits, really. But well, actually, not silly. That's the wrong word. But I can tell you an RNS that's probably going to be out in the morning, even though it would have been at the start of the weekend.
Nice.
It's one that I think that you've been in, and I know one or two people are in it.
Yes.
A company called Pure Wafer.
Pure Wafer. But, oh, their factory's burned down.
Yeah, it's a BBC story out this morning.
I saw that. They've had a terrible
fire.
Yeah.
So I sense that'll be a story in the morning, or an RNS out in the morning.
Saying whether or not they've got business interruption and
whatever.
Yeah,
it's going to just cause some headaches, really, with the business. In actual fact, the share price had been falling off, even though they'd had fairly good news out in the past. So it might fall a bit further, and at some point, if they have got the cover, they'll have to explain everything, no doubt. But it might be a good one to pick up.
Well, that was, of course, the buying opportunity of our lives was when the ASOS burned down the first time, not the second time.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
They seem to have highly combustible warehouses, some of these companies, don't they?
Yeah.
But I think with ASOS, it was a warehouse next door caught fire, didn't it?
Yeah.
This was years ago. This was sort of 10, 12 years ago, wasn't it? And it damaged a lot of their stock. The share price collapsed, and, you know, you would have made 500 times your money or something if you'd bought at that point.
Yeah. And another company that I just wanted to mention, because they seem to have done really well considering they were almost at death's door, is a company called United Carpets.
I'm in that one.
There you go.
Yeah, we met the CEO.
We did. And
was the other chap, was it the FD?
Yes, they've done pretty well, and they had an update this week, and it looked pretty good to me. So
they've got about 50 stores, haven't they? It's the second largest carpet retailer in the UK. Obviously, a long, long way behind Carpet.
Way behind them, yeah.
Allied Carpets have gone now, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
They're gone, yeah. It's just funny. They did a restructuring, didn't they? They did a CVA or something like that. Ditched all their loss-making shops. So it's a nice, clean little company now. The like-for-likes weren't very good, though, were they? They were only slightly positive, I think.
Yeah.
On sales. But, I agree with you.
But they're now opening new stores. So that's showing confidence that they're actually opening stores. And I think I think generally, of course, you know, especially if there's a bit of a feel-good factor with people with more money in their pocket, that, you know, they probably will go and change the carpet that they haven't changed.
And I think people are getting bored with all these laminate floors as well, you know, particularly in flats. You can hear all the footsteps above us. I mean, I don't have anyone above me in my flat, thank goodness. But
you're on the top floor.
I'm on the top floor, but I've got a seagull. Actually, the only people I have above me are seagulls. I've got this dormer roof at the back of the flat, and the seagulls use it because I'm very close to the coast here. The seagulls seem to use it as a sort of landing strip.
Oh my god!
They are so noisy. I mean, they're squawking from about 4 a.m. So do you know what I did in the end? I looked up on YouTube. Sorry, I'm rambling off the point a bit here. I looked up on YouTube some videos and audios for birds of prey, and I got some sort of sparrowhawk or kestrel or something video. Turned the volume up max and held my iPad out of the bathroom window. did that for a couple of minutes, and I tell you what, I haven't been bothered by the seagulls for about the last year.
Wow,
so I think I permanently damaged the ecosystem of this area by sort of by making it a black spot for seagull. So I'll probably have the Green Party, coming round and blackballing me.
That sounds like a newspaper story in the Brighton area.
Well, I know. I'll get into the Evening Argus at some rate. Yeah. Well, on that bombshell, we should probably sign off, unless you've got anything else.
Well, I've got to say is that we mentioned earlier, obviously, there are some very, very good video.
Yes. Have you got the link for that?
Yeah, the link for anybody who wants to download them is it's on Vimeo.com, which is Vimeo.com, and then you need /on-demand/ Mellow 2014.
Right, and Mellow is spelled
M-E-L-L-O 2014.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think actually you can find it by just searching for Carmen Cellar.
You probably can, yeah.
Because I did that, your nickname, because I did that on Vimeo, and it came up.
That's another one.
Yeah.
And I will just mention, for those who do like these sort of events, we briefly mentioned that there'll be the Mellow workshops coming up in April. There's also going to be, because very lucky, because all the hard work put into Derby, Bloomberg have approached me with regards to doing an event with them. So there'll be an event in March, early March, probably the 4th of March, that'll be at the Bloomberg HQ. And of course, there's, other events that are likely to follow on from Derby, such as Mellow 2015, I guess, but that's likely.
Yeah, any...
Well, it's likely to be in June, so middle of the year, but to make it a bit easier for organisation. But also, the other thing with that is that, most companies come out with end-of-year results, the sort of December year-end results, around March and April, so that gives them a chance to be in an open period, and June's a good time to catch all these companies, I guess.
Before
everyone goes on holiday.
Put me down for a Small Cap Valley report.
Definitely, Paul. You were one of the stars. And I must say, you were. And of course, you're available for download too on that Vimeo.
Well, I know. I watched it back yesterday, actually, and it was, I just got a frog in my throat. I couldn't speak. It was embarrassing. But never mind.
Everybody always thinks they're not doing as well as they are. You came across really well.
So fat as well. I tell you what, I've watched that. I thought, my God, I look enormous. So I'm definitely going to go on a crash diet.
It made me smile how regularly you were looking at your telephone to see what time it was and how long you had left.
There was a clock at the back of the hall. Yeah, it was huge as well. I just didn't notice it. I suppose we'd better sign off, David. I'm wishing everyone a very Merry Christmas and happiness and health and a bit of investing success in 2015. To all and sundry. So,
And thanks for all your friendship and help over the last year, especially with Derby.
Likewise,
you were great.
Likewise. Brilliant. It was an amazing thing. Well, thanks for organising.
And thanks to your brother as well, of course, because he helped a lot with all the sound and everything.
That's right. No, it was good all round. So, excellent. Look forward to the next one.
Brilliant.
Righto.
Take care, everyone, and happy Christmas.
Absolutely. Cheers. Bye.